that the greatest percentage of Colorado water goes towards agricultural use. There is an increasing competition for this limited water supply, factors that are leading to reduced irrigation water quantities for large areas of agricultural land come from urban and municipal water users, declining groundwater levels, and drought. As an example, Colorado's population is expected to grow about 65% in the next 25 years. Most of this growth will occur in the corridor from Fort Collins, Colorado, to Colorado Springs, Colorado, an area called the Front Range of the Rocky Mountains. As Colorado's population grows, water will shift from agriculture to municipal and industrial uses. It is expected that 428,000 acres of irrigated farmland will dry up to meet future needs. And these estimates may be quite conservative. Front Range agriculture and farming operations of the associated river valleys will supply the vast majority of water transfers. For growers, this leads to the question of how do we deal with a depleting water source? So options for growers include switching to a dryland farming practice or reducing irrigation inputs. This reduction of water inputs would alter management practices such as crop rotations, tillage methods, and timing of water inputs, which attenuates irrigating at only critical stages of plant growth like establishment and reproductive stages. And these alterations will affect soils and soil microorganisms. So how will microbes respond? Microbes have manufacture mechanisms that allow them to combat osmotic stress. Microbial cells have the ability to allow solute and water movement across their membranes to sustain equilibrium. This circle here, represents a large water film around the microbe, and these red diamonds represent solute. As the concentration of water decreases outside the cell must either lose water to the environment or increase the concentration of cells within itself. This is shown by the smaller circle here, and then hence the arrow means it is losing water to regain its equilibrium within the cell. And this action can be done by all microorganisms. The ability to manufacture and accumulate compatible solutes increases the solute concentration within microbial cells, allowing them to not lose water. An example of a manufactured solute is glycine baiting. So who will survive water stress? Gram-positive and fungi are especially adapted to accumulating solutes. This graph shows that gram-positive and fungi have higher cytoplasmic potentials because they have the ability to concentrate more compatible solutes. And it should also be noted that when considering cytoplasmic potentials, fungi have the greatest potential to survive water stress. A 2-year study was conducted, and all data included in the results are only from the 2006 year study. And we propose 3 questions. Is microbial biomass affected by deficit irrigated maize agroecosystems? 2, does water limitation select for different communities of microorganisms? And 3, are microbial communities stressed in rhizospheres of water-stressed maize? The study design consisted of 2 experiments based on irrigation application method, the sprinkler irrigation versus a furrow irrigation. There were 4 blocks, and each treatment replicated 4 times. There are also 3 different cropping rotations, a fully irrigated corn alfalfa, a limited irrigated corn alfalfa, and a limited irrigated wheat corn sunflower rotation. In addition to cropping rotation, there are differences in tillage practices. The 2 limited irrigations are under a no-till practice, while the full is conventionally tilled. We did not look at the dryland wheat fallow because we were only interested in the corn systems, and the intents on the right of the arrow are average amounts of water applied annually to corn. So I know everyone's wondering why we focused on corn. Corn is the leader in Colorado field crop. 1.2 million acres of farmland in Colorado is planted with corn, which equals out to about 1 in every 4 acres. Corn is also the fourth largest agricultural industry, and the demand for corn is increasingly strong due to cattle feed and ethanol for biofuel. Last year alone, its production increased about 26% from the previous year. Our methodology consisted of sampling corn rhizosphere soil in August of 2006 and 2007. The reason we chose rhizosphere soil is because we assumed that rhizosphere microbes are more under the influence of corn and corn's response to water stress rather than the tillage method. The soils were then sieved through a 4-millimeter mesh screen. Microbial biomass carbon was measured by chloroform fumigation incubation, and it was measured due to its sensitivity to changes in soil carbon and quality overall. Microbial lipid fatty acid analysis for community structure and stress indicators. And there are certain types of fatty acids associated with different types of microorganisms. So is microbial biomass affected? For this slide and others to follow, I'd like you to please note that the FUL stands for full irrigation, the limited for limited irrigation, the M for maize or corn, the A for alfalfa, the S for sunflower, and the W for wheat. And we found that a tendency was seen for microbial biomass carbon to decrease as the amount of irrigation water decreased, but results were not statistically significant. So are microbial communities different? Proportions do seem to change within microbial communities. If you'll notice the means labeled with different letters, we have an A and a B here, they represent a significant difference. And you can see that the limited irrigation resulted in higher relative amounts of gram-positive and lower relative amounts of fungi. This change came as a surprise. If you recall, according to cytoplasmic potentials, the fungi should have held a higher percentage than that of the gram-positive. So are rhizosphere microorganisms stressed? Under various stress conditions, such as desiccation and flooding, microbes alter certain monounsaturated fatty acids by adding a cyclopropane group. An increase in the ratio of cyclopropane, known as the 17-O-Cy, to the fatty acid precursor known as 16-1-omega-7-C, indicates stress. Interestingly, bacterial communities did not become stressed as irrigation amount decreased, at least not among the bacteria containing the 16-1 omega-7Cs. Instead, bacterial stress was affected by irrigation method, with greater stress ratio in the furrow irrigated than that of the sprinkler irrigated. So based on the 2006 data, we concluded that the deficit irrigation did cause decreases in microbial biomass carbon, though the trends found were not significant. Water limitation did alter microbial community structure, and although fungi are physiologically more adapted to water stress, we found there to be relatively less and relatively more gram-positive. We have seen that others have found this similar pattern where fungi do better in wetter soils. And microbial community stress seems to be due to the irrigation delivery method. The extreme flooding and drying of furrow irrigation causes an increase in the presence and accumulation of the 17-O cyclopropane, which is a stress marker. So, any questions? Just an assumption. Normally when you decrease water, it is going to decrease the water potential within the soils.
Okay.
No, we don't really know that. We only know that there was stress because of that stress marker that was that we were able to find. Yes, sir. It can have some effect. Legumes do have the, you know, a keen eye, I guess, for certain microbes like the nitrogen fixing bacteria. But overall, the community structure is still going to vary some within them. But I think it's not going to be detrimental enough to be able to pick out a significance between them. Yes, sir. It depends on the stress. With these, it was over one season, and we were able to see some stress. So, but the amount of stress and the length of the stress is what's going to cause the microbial communities to change, and it all depends on what type of stress is actually occurring. Yeah, we sampled them during in August, which is when the reproductive stage is at its peak. So, and that's typically when the water stress is at its also at its peak. Yes.
You mentioned something about the website about the effect of the water stress on the corn. And I wasn't sure, were you able to say that the response of the corn to the water stress would affect the microbial or the water stress itself?
The water stress itself is going to affect the microbial community, but we were focusing on corn because of its crop and its potential and the use of it within the state. Any more questions? Yes, sir.
Could you tell me what you think the difference between the flooding and the sprinkler system and the
Oh, well, the sprinkler system, it doesn't have the great extremes that the flooding system does, because with the furrow irrigation, you've got these extreme floodings that come through to irrigate, and then they wait a longer period of time. And so you have a drying phase that occurs, and then they're flooded again, which causes two very extreme stresses on the microbial communities themselves. And the sprinkler doesn't cause that.
Is the change you see in these fatty acids associated?
Yeah, that's going to be some of the, that is going to occur some just because of the flooding itself is going to cause some oxygen deprivation. Other than the actual effects of the change in the enzyme itself, I don't know if the oxygenation causes that. Yes?
With the change in
within the limited or the
yeah, I guess you observed some changes in microbial community.
Yeah.
Is that right?
We did.
Were those when we assume those to be positively or negatively affect management systems?
Well, I guess it would be considered somewhat of a negative, but for the system that we were looking at, when water is such a scarce commodity, it's better to try to save as much water as possible. And since it doesn't seem to cause a huge increase, we didn't look at yield on the plants or anything like that. We were only looking at the microbial communities themselves. And so it depends on, I guess, if someone's really concerned about their microbial communities in their soil, if they're going to be concerned whether or not the water or the limitation of the water is going to affect it. Because the microbes themselves do influence plants and, you know, plant production and stuff like that, but some people look at it as not a huge influence. Okay, thank you.